Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. I'm just going to make a prayer today, tonight, from Psalm 63. It's a good psalm, and I believe we can, it's a good prayer also. Now, I praise God for all the temptations, knowing that the testing of our faith, it works patient. Psalm 63. O God, you are our God. Earnestly, we will seek you. Our soul thirsts for you. Our flesh longs for you in a dry and weary land where no water is. So we have looked upon you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. Our lips shall praise you, and so we will bless you while we live. We will lift up our hands in your name. Our soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and our mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When we remember you on our bed and meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been our help, and in the shadow of your wings we will rejoice. Our soul follows hard after you, Lord. Your right hand upholds us. But those who seek our soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God, and everyone who swears by him shall glory, for the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Glory, hallelujah. And I praise you, Father, for this. And I thank you, Lord, for taking care of all of our enemies. Lord, if you can save them, we ask and we pray. Ask and pray, Lord, that you would grant repentance to them and give them a good dream about where they are and why they need to change. And Father, we thank you for that. We want nothing but the best for all of our enemies, Lord, the best of you. And we praise you and we glorify you and thank you, Lord, for your continual wall of security around each and every one of us. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, Julie, do you want to tell them what's going on with what we talked about earlier? I'll let you go ahead and do that.
Well, I came across this video, a short little video clip that they were saying that Dr. Carrie Mache was in a plane crash and that she was in the hospital. And so I forwarded it to Michael and said, I don't know if it's true or not, but we need to pray. So I was praying for her. And Michael, you said you checked it out on other places and it was true.
Yeah, they had a plane crash after they came from a testifying for Dr. Paul Gossip, I think is his name or something like that. And then all of a sudden their plane just came out of and crashed over in Georgia.
Was it near the airport or at the airport where they crashed? Or
it's really hard to tell because every story you see is a little bit different, you know. One said that they had just taken off and crashed. Another one said they were coming back from Florida and crashed. So it's kind of sketchy right now. And these were sources that had put it up just an hour ago also. So I don't know, but the main story is that both of them are alive. Dr. Madage, I think is the way she
says
it. Madage, okay. Carrie Madage, and she is one of the major ones that has been exposing the COVID nastiness and a lot of the other stuff that goes on.
A lot of the science backing of it. She's done her research and now she's, you said it was her boyfriend. It was just her plane. Her boyfriend was the pilot.
It was his plane. And he of course was piloting it. I've been a 20-year pilot. So he had a lot of hours. It was no big deal for him, you know, to fly from Florida to wherever they were going. But apparently it just lost power, came down. And she got off with some broken bones. I believe it was in her legs. possibly, and he had some head injuries and some other things more serious than her. But they expect both of them to come out of it. So, Lord, I just lift up both of these young people up to you, and I praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in them, that you got them on the ground without them being killed. I know they've been covered in prayers before, and Father, we just cover them in our prayers. Now we ask and we pray for a supernatural miracle to show both of them that you are you still heal. They don't have to go to doctors anymore. And I praise you for it. And I command every bone in her body to be healed and back together in Jesus' name without any bad side effects in Jesus' name. And Lord, when you do it, it's done 100%. We command that body of hers to be healed. We command his body to be healed in Jesus' name. Whatever's wrong, we command it by the power and authority and the blood of Jesus to be healed. And we thank you for it, Father, for a quick recovery. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Yep. Amen. And Lord, I just also ask with my brothers, my sisters here, that you keep a hedge of protection around both of them while they are in the hospital stay, that there will be absolutely no evil befall them or come near them there. No witchcraft, no death, no assassination, no murder. No pharmakia of any sort that's going to have any kind of bioweapon effect on them whatsoever. Lord, that they are shielded and protected in the blood of the Lamb and by the prayers of the saints, Lord, we declare it, we decree it, that they're going to be out of there sooner rather than later, Lord, because of your miraculous healing and faith in what we Amen. Just have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, we just ask if this is an attempt on their life from the enemy, we ask that you expose it to the highest level. And we praise you for doing that, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else want to pray?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Will.
Father, we break the power of any spirit of death in the name of Jesus over them, Lord. Let your mighty angels surround them and intently guard them. And Lord, and out of your grace and mercy, that even some of the enemies would see your hand move and fall on their knees and praise you and be brought into salvation. We thank you for you are mighty in battle. You are extremely faithful beyond measure. And also, Father, that you would touch them with a powerful, special touch of your love, a new flow of your grace and mercy, and more of Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus, we praise you and give you thanks, Father.
Amen. Lord, we ask that your protection be upon them while they're in the hospital, too, that none of these doctors and nurses would make any mistakes in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for full recovery real soon. Glory to God. Okay, go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I was at work one day, and one of our nighttime stalkers, he just passed away just a few weeks ago. And he was in his early or late 60s, so he was really young. That was sad.
Getting old up there, wasn't he? Well, praise the Lord. Well, Lord, was he a Christian, Nick? Do you know?
I do not know.
Okay. You want to pray?
I don't know if he was or not, so.
Okay. Well, Lord, we just ask that you use this to bring his family into the kingdom. And we praise you and we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? I want to pray down some witchcraft. Father, in the name of Jesus, we cast down witchcraft in this group and the local in the name of Jesus. I cast down all word curses spoken against us in the name of Jesus, that they would be null and void as they're spoken. Even as they're spoken, they won't get any further than the tips of their toes. In Jesus' name, and we praise you and glorify you, Father, for your complete safety on all of us, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to put up with it. We're not putting up with it. And we command the enemy to cease his actions against us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's right. Yeah, go ahead, Ray and June. I'm sorry. Kind of distracted here a little bit.
Okay. I wanted to offer prayer with my brothers and sisters for someone I don't know. A few days ago, I read a short letter from a grandmother, and I'd like to read it to you. So you can join me in prayer. The grandmother writes, "I would like to ask for prayers for my 2-year-old granddaughter. She had an accident 3 days ago when a horse behind, being led by her daddy, fell on her sweet little angel. She hasn't shown much improvement, but she cries out in pain. She did tell her mama, 'Naughty nay, no, nay mama,' meaning naughty horse. We are grateful our little sweetheart is alive. It's been 6 years ago, almost to the day. Sorry. We lost her older brother in a car accident. Then 8 months later, we lost our only son in his sleep. This tragedy has reflected back terrible memories, feelings, and aching hearts. We feel numb and lost. We have a big extended family, and they have willingly joined us in prayer every day, including many of their in-laws, our friends, and ward members. Now we ask our brothers and sisters worldwide to join us to pray in behalf of our darling girl, her mama and daddy. We know prayer works, and especially in numbers. We are grateful for those of you that are willing to join us. Thank you so very much." Well, after reading that, I've been praying every day. And as she has mentioned, we do know that numbers are very powerful in the spirit realm to the glory of God. And so, Father, I ask, we know your word. We stand on your word. And your word proclaims that plans that you have for us are for our welfare, and to give us a hope and a future, that we are victorious in you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you are our shield and our buckler. And Father, obviously, this woman knows you. And on that note, we lift her up and her family, and we pray you give her the revelation, or any family member that needs to know, what brought this on? What door was opened to cause such evil that the enemy got in and attacked this family with such tragedies? And we pray that it doesn't continue, that whatever opened that door will be shut in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Father, we hook our faith up with Ray and June, and we believe the prayers that she prayed. Father, we thank you for restoration of this child in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. We just believe, Lord. We believe a miracle is happening even as we speak. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.
Jim wants to talk. Jim wants to talk.
Hey, Lana. Hey, Lana. Let me see if I can mute her. Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Julie.
Praise Jesus. Well, Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that you give us voices.
Amen.
Here, Lord, to speak your word and command things. And you know exactly what's going on with this family. But we take authority over every evil that's been spoken against them, every curse, every blasphemy, every lie, all evil works of curses, vexes, hexes, voodoo, spells.
Amen.
And everything being sent against them of darkness, we cast it down. We break its power off of this family in the name of Jesus. We command healing into this little girl.
Yep.
Command the pain to go and any injuries sustained to her body. We command complete healing to her body in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you give this little girl visitation in her dreams, or that she knows that Jesus is there with her. We claim and declare the blood of Jesus over her, and by the stripes of Jesus, she's been healed.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Amen.
Let's just praise God for just a second for this young girl's good healing. Thank you, Father, that you're doing that work in her right now. We praise you, Father. Thank you so much for doing this for this little girl. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. And we praise you, Father, for doing this for this young little girl. In Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you. We declare and decree her healed right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I believe it. Glory to God. All right. Anyone else? Glory to God. Yes. Thank you, Lord. My. God's doing something to this little girl right now. Okay. Let's see, I've got her. Anybody else got something they want to add?
Praise you, Jesus. We just declare and decree the salvation of the Lord over this family and this little girl. Hallelujah. Show them your salvation, Lord. You're our God. You're great. You will be exalted over all the nations, Lord. You are going to show yourself strong on this family's behalf, Lord. You're going to show them who you are. Hallelujah. We take the authority over the forces of darkness, of evil, of pain, of sickness, of disease. You're nothing. You're defeated at the cross. You have nothing. You are nothing. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the whole world. Lord, you bore the curse in yourself, Lord. We praise you, Lord, that you are awesome and you are powerful. Amen. And you are wonderful and you are merciful. Show thyself merciful, Lord, unto this family, God. Show them yourself. Reveal yourself unto them, Lord, that they will not ever doubt your love and your power and your grace, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus, Lord, God Almighty, the great I am, wondrously show thy love to them.
Amen. Lord. Glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
My.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's pray for our brother, Joe Britt. He had a dream that a couple of snakes were after him. And all we have to do, it's a warning dream. And I command whatever it is, it's trying to attack Joe. I bind you up and cast you away from him in the name of Jesus. Right now. Ain't no serpent spirit gonna strike my brother in Jesus' name. You're not allowed. He's a blood-bought child of God. And in the name of Jesus, you cease your activities against him right now. In Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for your big warrior angels around about Joe right now, protecting him from any kind of attacks from the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. I command the spirits of witchcraft to be thrown down as null and void. In Jesus' name. I'm not real sure what that yellow one is, Joe.
Thank you.
Yeah. Go ahead, Isaac. Y'all believe what we prayed is not going to happen to Joe in Jesus' Amen. Name. That he is not going to be attacked by the enemy. The enemy has been thwarted, and he will not fulfill his mission in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Isaac.
Yeah, well, I was just going to, kind of tack on for y'all could pray for me also. I had a dream at that a harlot, I'll keep it like this, a harlot walking in darkness wanted to talk to me. Nothing real bad, but just wanted to flirt with me. Can we cast that down too? Well, I know we can. How about we just do it? I'll say a prayer and y'all agree.
Go ahead.
Lord, thank you, Father. Thank you for Joe coming forward. Thank you, Father, that it gives me bonus to come forward to. And Lord, we cast these spirits down, and these witchcraft spirits that attack us, just like you showed me in my dream a few months ago that when we sleep, these dark entities try to bother us. But Father, your light is with us, Father. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we have boldness to go before you and that we can do this with faith. And that's really all it takes, Father, is faith. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for an awesome covenant you give us. And thank you, Father, that no witchcraft or serpent spirits or harlotry, idolatry will come over us in Jesus' name. And thank you, Father, that you separate us from the world for the glorious time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Joe, do you mind if I put this dream in the chat? Okay. This is the dream he got. Maybe some of you can come up with a little more we need to pray for. There it is. All right. Go ahead, Willie. William. Go ahead, Will.
You talking to me, brother?
No, yeah. No, the other way.
It is a very popular name all around the world, it seems.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just thinking that the serpent's job is to crucify our flesh. They can only take our flesh, but they cannot destroy our spiritual man if we cooperate with God in our crucifixion process. We are safe. If we don't turn the other cheek, they can take us down. So that's just my prayer. Lord, thank you that we are here to be crucified. Thank you for that experience. Help us to actually enjoy crucifying the old man. If we start enjoying it, I guess it will be easier. I ask you to help us to cooperate with you in this crucifixion process that we can be saved from all serpents. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else got anything they want to add to it? Yeah, George, go ahead, brother.
Father, I thank you that Brother Joe has the true power of God, that these copycats and these imposters try to mimic and send their power, but the power that's in Joe is going to gobble them up just like Moses' staff, and that he'll not be bothered at all by them. The power of God will take over that display, and the true God will prevail in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead. That was a good word. You got it on it too, Joe. Good word. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Ray or June.
Joe, I was wondering when you said that the snake turned around at you and struck you, did you mean by a bite or just attempted to strike? I would like to know that because I can't decipher what the dream means otherwise.
He was going for me and I just defend. I didn't feel he hit me. I just defend myself when I woke up.
Well, oh wait, I'm back there.
You're still.
Oh, I am. Sounds like a good dream, actually. You are victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. The enemy always comes against God's people, but we are the overcomers. And that's what I receive from your dream.
Amen.
Thank you.
The verse that he got was Jeremiah 30:20. Says, their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. Amen. That's our prayer, Lord. Glory be to God. All right. Anyone else? Thursday night is praise night. Y'all knew that, didn't you? I just want to. Amen. Thursday night is praise night, man. It's getting your dancing shoes on, your praise clothes on. We're going to do it Thursday night. Oh, hallelujah. All right. Patrick, do you want to explain to us what you were talking about in your email to me that I put it up in chat earlier? If nobody saw it, you go back up to the front of the chat and you'll see it, what he sent me.
Yeah, I don't see it on the chat, but
let me see. Okay, it's up there. Maybe you came in later than I put it up there. I'll do it again.
Let me read the scripture that I was reading at the time. I'm not sure what why I came up with that. My head's been in other things here in the last day or so. 2 Corinthians 5:16, Paul's saying, wherefore henceforth now know we know no man after the flesh. Hopefully somebody's going to grab that. We have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In verse 17, where it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. As I was reading that, it dawned on me as that the flip side of the coin is truth, that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. However, if he is not in Christ, he's still in the old life. And obviously, we enter into that life of Christ by faith. And I'm sorry, I'm a little bit choppy here because, again, my head has been in something completely different here. Father, would you just bring back the thoughts and the clarity that you had in those questions that I posed, and bring forth what you showed me out of those things. And I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit you've given me to guide me into all truth. If one has received the gift of Christ's life for his own, he has become a new creature, an entirely new formation, one never seen on the earth before, as indicated in Genesis chapter 2. And I believe that the thing that I was thinking when this came up, well, you know what? Let me, Michael, can I hold off on this? I've lost my train of thought related to the what I was thinking about at the time was reconciliation and how that reconciliation takes place. And so I don't know if anybody else has any thoughts. I'll just read you what I had wrote down then, and then I'll just flip it out. And if anybody wants to make a comment, they can. How could Jesus, being one man, give his life in exchange for many others to get into heaven? If Jesus, in fact, was a man with one soul, one life, how could that one soul, living a guiltless, sinless life, be given to more than one other individual? In other words, for a proper reconciliation, if Jesus lived a life, a sinless life, which he obviously did. And he lived that life as a man, which he obviously did. How could that sinless life, and of course he died, and he did not owe a death because he lived a sinless life. So he owed nothing but died and paid a debt for himself, paid that debt for that he could give to another man, another person, another soul, one soul in proper reconciliation, one life or soul life of righteousness could purchase one soul of sinfulness. It could exchange. He could pay for one life. And so as I thought about it, every man has a spirit, a soul, and a body, as indicated or spoken by Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we all have one body, one soul, one spirit. God also made it clear that every soul that sins shall die. Ezekiel 18:4, behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And then God made it clear that in his word, every man is given one life to live, and after that, the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And it's clear that Jesus was a man born into the world through the womb of a mother, like any other man. He, like any other man, had only one soul life to live, and therefore to exchange for another. The answer to how one life is now available to many of us is understood in knowing that life consists, what life consists of, that life that Jesus had, that soul life that Jesus had, was the result of the Spirit of Jesus believing God's word of life and walking it out through the soul life in its manifesting convincement or manifestation. And that life is available to many now in those who are willing to believe God's word and walk it out in the same way Jesus demonstrated. 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and that this life is in his Son. And that hath the Son, and he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. So I don't know if I was, if it was just hitting me. I don't know what I heard that triggered me into thinking of that aspect, but it's the, I guess the very concept that we inherit that life as we exchange our old life with Jesus' life through believing his word and walking it out and allowing that word to transform our soul and bring that life within us. So, and I apologize. I don't know. I wasn't in the same frame of mind tonight when I was thinking about it and reading this. So I just kind of threw it out there and blurted it out. So anyway, if it raises any thoughts or questions, God bless you.
Amen. All right, Julie, go ahead.
Thanks. I had some thoughts. What was coming to me was how Jesus said that my words are spirit and they are life. And the other scripture was coming to me about how you know, when your question is, how can one man, one soul, you know, bring, you know, have, make many or whatever, however you worded that. And where it says about the parable of the seed and the sower, you know, going into fertile ground, our hearts, that it bears much fruit. And the other thought was coming to me was about in John 12:24, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abideth by itself alone. But if it die, it beareth much fruit. And then the other thing that was coming to my mind was in Isaiah 53. Where, I see, 53 and 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By the knowledge of himself shall my righteous servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities. So those scriptures are coming to my mind about how God does all that. And it's all spiritual, it's all supernatural, it's all just believing the word of God, and his words are spirit. They transform us, you know, they make us like him, and we become like him. We're new in Christ, and you know, it's all done spiritually, because it's, you know, who can understand, you know, how God does stuff? We can't get our heads around it, you know. I just think it's just all just believing what his word said. God does it by his Holy Spirit. He transforms us. You know, the seed and the sower, that parable is so deep, and there's so much there. And you know what, and when we die, you know, then we bear more fruit. I don't know. I hope that helps a little bit. Yeah. Those are the thoughts in the scripture that were coming to me, though, as I was listening to you.
Okay. Thank you, Julie. Go ahead, Ray or June.
Oh, I like to keep things really simple, so maybe this is going to be too simple, but we know that God is a spirit, one spirit, and his spirit created each one of us, many spirits. So on that note, I just take it to the point where our God came in the flesh, and anyone who will receive his gift, claim their inheritance in him, will be with them as they walk the life that he has given us in his word.
Okay. Anybody else? Why? I'm going to take this a little bit further, Pat. Why was Christ chosen to be the reconciliation? Too many hands up at one time. Come on now. Gives us the answer down there in the scriptures he quoted. Yeah, George.
He couldn't swear by any other. When he made the promises to Abraham, he had to walk it out and put Abraham to sleep. And he had to be a man so that he could redeem man. He had to bring that blood to the earth. I could be wrong, but I think that was the only plan that would work. And to make us, like Julie was saying, that first fruit, that seed that went into the ground, and we can follow him and we can be buried just like he was buried, and we can carry our cross just like he carried his cross and live a resurrected life just like he is living in us, a resurrected Jesus in us. So, you know, he did away with the old man, and he's doing away with that old species of man because it's a new creation. It's never been here before until he made a way. That's all I got.
Amen. All right, Nick, you got the answer, buddy.
He created the earth before we came.
Okay. All right, that's something else we can add to it. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Isaac.
Okay, I'll read 1 Colossians. How about starting at I'll start at 13. How about that right here? Or 12. Giving thanks unto the Father who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us out of powers of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And this is the point I'm getting to right here. For in him were all things created, in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things have been created through him and unto him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it was the good pleasure of the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself. And the word unto there is also into himself. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things upon the earth or things in the heavens. So it seems like this whole creation is for him. So I would say his sacrifice is enough. I have to remind myself sometimes that exact statement. Sometimes if I'm battling, whether it be, I mean, it can be even personal doubt. And to be honest with you guys, if I'm having it, you know, if it's, whatever you can name it, sometimes I'll just say his sacrifice was enough. And that's all I have to say. And I'll just keep saying it. And then I'll also say I have the mind of Christ, but his sacrifice was enough. And let me say this too, and then I'll be done. Sometimes, you know, we feel like, maybe I do, I should say I. Well, I know people have a hard time feeling like, well, yeah, but I'm me and I have, you know, I've done these things in the past. How can he, you know, how can I be saved? I've heard that before. And my thought process, and I'm careful who I say this to because it almost sounds a tad bit morbid. But let's say you guys who have children, you have nothing more precious in the world, you know. I mean, these things are beautiful, innocent, just amazing. If you had to give one of them for the sins of the world, especially strangers, and they, and I know it sounds morbid, but if you give one of them up and a person came to you and said, well, I don't know if I accept it. What more can you do? There's nothing more you can do. You either believe it or you either accept it or you don't, because there's nothing more you can give. There's nothing more you can give. It's not possible. Well, he gave his only begotten son, right? And I have thought about that so many times. But, you know, like I say, it's through him. And like Jesus said, I'm trying to stay in subject here, so I'll say this. Remember, he said, he was talking in, I forget where in Matthew, but he's more valuable. He was saying that, you know, you are more valuable than many sparrows, because I mentioned this before, how he said, are not two sparrows sold for one cent? See, and then I explained, because I actually did some research, they would not just use turtle doves, but sparrows for sins, right? Because those were what the poor could afford. And that's what my point was being. It was never, we put more value on our sins and on who we are in the flesh than what God does. He puts value in sonship. He puts value in having the fullness of him, right? What I just read, being created into Christ. That's where the value is. 1 cent for your sin. That's a pretty good deal. You know, got Jesus Christ here, man. The hope of glory. So that's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Thank you, Isaac. Go ahead, Julie.
Isaac, that was good. That was a good analogy. I tried to share about Jesus one day to somebody like that and just said that, you know, God gave his only son for the sins of the whole world. Now, you know, this man that I was talking to, he had several children. I said, would you be willing or, you know, to give one of your children, you know, your firstborn or whomever, you know, for the payment of somebody's, you know, life, would you be able to do that? And he just said, no way, you know? And it was an unselfish thing. He did it because of love. And the other thing that helps me too is, I think you read it in Colossians there about, you know, everything was made through him and for him. And that we've always been known to him. He already knows us before he created the whole world. He already knew us. And so it's not like doing it for strangers. He knows who he died for. He saw each and every one of us as he was suffering for us. That's what helps me kind of, you know, I'm nothing. You know, none of us are anything, and we don't deserve what he gave us. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I appreciate everybody's input. It's very good. I remembered kind of what I was, the track that I was going down, and that was this reconciliation. And the fact that Christ has, that we are new creatures in Christ, and then said all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And I remember the conversation Jesus was having with one of the disciples, and he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And in another place, he said, it's not me doing the works, it's the Father doing the works in me. And Jesus, when he came, provided a perfect obedience to the Father and allowed the Father's life to function through him. And I believe that it was through Jesus that the Father's life being expressed was reconciling the world, was reconciling, that reconciling process was taking place there as it was being manifested. And then he says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And then he said, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And I think the connection that I was making in some personal things that I'm going through is that our obedience to the Lord, allowing his life to freely flow and access through us, it is the Father through Jesus reconciling those that life is impacting. And when he says, now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, we are now here to receive the same task that Jesus had, to fulfill the same process by allowing the Holy Spirit, by allowing the life of Jesus through us freely, to freely go out into the world, and it will reconcile the world. That's what God is using to reconcile the world, that life of Christ, that word of God. And so in one sense, we don't have to feel like we have to have all our I's dotted and T's crossed and all my act together in every, in every aspect. And I know exactly what I'm going to say. And I got 1, 2, 3 that I'm going to knock it out. It's not our ability to think, process, or come up with the right scripture, this and that. It's simply our privilege to allow God's Spirit to bring forth that life that he has placed in us through his word, that word of God, that life of Christ. And it is that aspect that is doing the reconciling, doing the work that God has called us to do. So it's kind of a, yes, we are ambassadors. Yes, we are responsible, but it's all God that's doing the work. It's all him using these vessels to do his work. So I don't know if that maybe clarifies my confusion. It just became kind of clear to me there at the end. So anyway, that's it.
Amen. All right, anyone else?
Yeah, I know for me, Pat, it's like what happens with me is that there's times it seems like I've got nothing. And then there's certain situations that God sets up and people that come my way where the Spirit just naturally moves through me. And it's the Father that's flowing. It's his word that is manifesting. He is doing the work through us. It's not having to force anything or go make anything happen. Because I used to think, man, I'm not really getting too many people saved. What good am I? I mean, the enemy pulverized me. But the Lord has shown me, as long as we get his word in us and we fellowship with the Father, he will arrange everything. And the more and more that we learn to trust him in faith, you know, his word that he's faithful, etc., as he manifests, we will begin to understand and learn more and more who the Father is and when he wants to move and when he moves. You know, so it's a matter of just learning to trust him, because otherwise I'll go out here and try to think that I got to do everything and make a mess out of everything. So it's that trust and overcoming that fear, you know. Am I doing it? I'm not doing enough. Blah, 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 blah. All that confusion, stuff the enemy likes to bring on us. But that's what I've noticed, is that I've got to see over the years that when the Father moves, it just comes out naturally. It's like things will be spoken through me. I'll be like, wow, Father, you are awesome. So, yeah, it's learning to let him move through us, brother. It's not me doing anything.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Is that it? We all got this squared away now. I was kind of looking for Andrew to come in there, or Greg, or George. Yes, George, go ahead.
That was an accident.
No, it wasn't. Okay, brother. All right. Yeah, Greg, go ahead, brother.
Did you mention my name? Am I supposed to comment? What? Did you mention my name? Sorry, I'm getting close to the microphone. Where have I put the microphone? Okay. Floor, sorry. Did you mention my name? Am I supposed to comment?
Yes.
Okay, it's pretty simple. Christ died for me. Everyone else get in line.
Oh my goodness.
Any questions? I did put some stuff in the chat there. It comes back to John 3. You know, we have to be born again. We can't no longer exist in the line of Adam. Because we're up the creek. If we're in the line of Adam, we have to go into the line, you know, have to be born again into the line of the second Adam. And then we're not up the creek. The old life has passed away. I don't know. I can't really put it into dot points. And I don't think that the Lord ever meant it to be in dot points. It's more a whole painting mural picture thing that is just magnificent the way he's done it. If one life could do it, then we'd be sacrificing a lamb or, a sparrow or whatever we could afford every now and again. But that was just a shadow of what was to come. And his sacrifice was absolutely perfect, and it's not limited. It wasn't. While he was born of woman, he was not of the line of men. Anyway, that's enough from me. I'm sorry, I haven't got the camera on. I'm choking out my bandwidth here.
Okay. Anyone else? Top that one. All right, Andrew, are you there? Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking, you know, how, especially like how all the ladies here, how they like to not tell how much they weigh to their husbands and stuff. But this one body, I just don't know how heavy it is. And so us guys, you know, we're okay with that. We don't care how big we are. But it's pretty big, I'm telling you. And it includes the Jesus himself. So this one body, this reconciliation has a baptism. And a reconciliation gives you a circumcision of your heart. And a circumcision of your heart is compared to baptism. And a baptism is compared to your cross. And you're going to need your yoke there at the same time. And you got to be holy because he said so, you know. Peter says, he that calleth you is holy, so be holy in all your behavior. And holiness is the Spirit of God in you, and it's omnipresent, and it comes out of the Father. And that's one big Holy Spirit. But somewhere in there is the body of Christ. And that's about it. Praise God.
I was kind of looking for a bus to come in your living room. It sounded like something was coming in. There it is. All right. I know.
I'm all set for Thursday. I have an extra pair of headphones here so I can take these off and then listen to you on these two at the same time. It's actually quite good because one of them get quite sweaty and then you can just switch them. But one will be for Ben and one will be for me. So I got something together here. I went to Radio Shack and it's not even called Radio Shack anymore. Oh boy. What are they? They're changing this world too much.
Well, what's Radio Shack called now? I didn't know that.
Oh, up here in Canada, they call it the Source. So
the store?
The Source.
Oh, the Source. Oh.
Yeah, I maybe it's still Radio Shack down there. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, the Sauce.
I think they went out of business down here. I don't think there are any more down here, are there?
I know that the local Radio Shack here, they quit calling it Radio Shack and it's part of the hardware store now, or furniture store, or whatever all they got in there. So you may be right. They may have gone out of business. All right, anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, when Andrew said the Source, it just made me think of something I heard the other day. And I just wasn't sure what it was, but some guy was talking about is this whole new awakening and everything, saying that we're all from the Source and we need to like have all this knowledge. It'll get downloaded to us and it's all of the Source. And I'm like, what is he talking about? It doesn't have anything to do with Christ. It doesn't. It sounded alien. So I didn't know if that's just some new age thing that somebody was talking about, that's probably, I see Missy nodding her head. So that's what I figured. It was just some new age nonsense, but wanted confirmation. Thanks.
All right. Anyone else? Well, there he is talking about that, Benita. There's a lot of new age junk out there. Yeah, Will, go ahead, brother. Will in South Africa, go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir, Michael. I have to switch my Bluetooth speaker off on the farm, and that takes few seconds.
Yeah.
And then I can answer. So it takes a few seconds. If I don't switch off the Bluetooth, then you guys can't hear me. We only have it's actually amazing. We have a signal on the farm in one place in the house. In the kitchen, kitchen window. If you move the phone 30 centimeters to the left or right, the signal is gone. So there's one strand of signal going through the house, and it actually runs 4G. Luckily, not 5G, but 4G, and we can actually tune in. It's just a miracle. I don't know where that signal comes from, but there's no other reception on the property except that one strand going through the kitchen. And we actually found it by mistake. I think someone came when we were out of the valley, then there's reception. And we drove down and someone left their phone on and put it on the kitchen counter and then got a message. So, but that's a bit, I was just thinking on, if I got it right, the part of the dream where Joe was going to use his hands to defend himself against the serpent. And I was just thinking to myself in my life, how often where I use my hands to defend myself, not like almost like self-effort, you know, and not using the word to stick it into the serpent, you know, that we must sort of repent from not sticking those serpents, not cutting them up with the word of God, that we try to defend. We're not actually aggressive enough with the word against these serpents. Maybe that, I think it's for me just a prayer of repentance and asking the Lord to make us stronger in the word and to cut up those serpents instead of just defending ourselves and not being strong enough against the serpents. Lord, please give us the strength and mature us with our swords that we can really be very aggressive when the snakes try and attack us, that they'll be very, very sorry and very hurt and very cut up by our defensive skills, and to make us very aggressive in the word, Lord, to protect our spiritual lives and our souls against the devil. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? All right, is there anybody want to comment anymore on what Pat brought up? Was it? There was three things to that, wasn't it? If Jesus was in fact a man with one soul and one life, how could that one soul living a righteous life be exchanged for more than one other individual? Who's got the answer? Everybody ought to have that answer. Yeah, Missy.
Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's without sin.
Absolutely. That's why, because his father was God. He was brought here without any sin. He lived without any sin. He was the perfect Lamb. Yes, Pat.
You know, I had the thought the other day, and maybe it was in the midst of this, and it really is kind of what Missy said, is that even though understanding, say, the heavenly logic behind some of these things, when it's all, I guess the thought came to me is that, you know, we are not saved by knowledge. It's helpful. Well, let me clarify that. We are not saved through the mental, you know, grasping of this particular truth or understanding how it works, shall we say. And unfortunately, I kind of get bound up in rabbit trails and these kind of thoughts and thinking and trying to figure out how and why and whatever. But we're not saved by understanding. We're saved by faith. We're saved, you know, by faith and the grace that comes through that faith. And so, it marvels me as I think of how God so made this so simple and so easy that even the smallest child could grasp it and be saved. And yet we as adults and, you know, have learned a lot of things in life, I tend to drift to the things that I know and understand and whatever. But again, we're not saved by that. That's icing on the cake. We're saved by faith. By faith in what, in his word, what God has done and what, so I don't know. It kind of hit me the other day as I was thinking about even these things that we're talking about here today. It's nice to know the intricacies of God's, you know, logic and all this sort of thing. I mean, when you think about God created the earth out of the very elements, out of the, you know, the atoms and the molecules and all this sort of stuff. I mean, we're dealing with a God that is so far, you know, beyond us that we couldn't even in a billion years even come close to, you know, accessing that type of awareness or information. But God makes it so simple for us through that simple faith, just believing his word and acting upon it. And so, I don't know. It just kind of hit me. I'm sorry I didn't mean to jump in there in front of Tracy.
Go ahead, Tracy.
Hey, everybody. No, brother, you're first. Praise God. I think I've been listening, but is the question, or what the topic, I should say, is the topic how did one person do it for everybody? Was that the topic?
Yeah, essentially, yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I mean, everybody's got good answers, praise God. But man, when he died perfect, he took the keys. Remember, he went and took the keys to hell, death, and the grave. Well, when you buy a house and you have the keys, you can let anybody in or lock anybody out. That's just the way I see it. So praise God.
Amen. Amen. That's a simple way of putting it. Go ahead, Missy. Thank you, Tracy.
What comes to my mind when you were just talking there, Pat, Isaiah 55, starting in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud and gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I send it. And let me see if I can, what also comes to my mind is, because the Lord had me in these verses the other week, I just, Romans 11, I believe it is. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past tracing out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed to him again. For of him and through him and unto him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Amen. His ways are past tracing out. We can't figure him out. Just think, Pat. For all eternity, when we go to heaven, it's like, you know, I think about this now and then. We're going to be constantly going, wow, 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 because God's riches are so unsearchable, past tracing out, that we're going to learn something new all the time, you know, and just be in awe of him and appreciate and just be overjoyed with how awesome of a God that we have, knowing that nothing escapes him and he's almighty and all powerful, omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yeah, Rayon, go ahead, brother.
Hey, everyone. As the good discussions. I've been reading Timothy later, and this verse in 1 Timothy 2 verse 4, it has really jumped out. I'll paste it in the chat quick and chat about it. And because that's another method, or I suppose a way that we answer this question of how can all be reconciled through one. And that's this, where it says, who would have all men to be saved? So this is talking about God's wish, right? This is wish that all should be saved, not necessarily his will, and that we come to knowledge of the truth. But then it says, there's one God, but that's talking about God the Father, and then one mediator, which is talking about Christ, also between God and men. And that's another way that we're able to be reconciled, because we've got Christ there as a mediator. But then the next bit jumped out at me when I read it. It says, himself, man, Christ Jesus. Now, when I was a little child and I used to hear the gospel and about Jesus coming to die for us, I always thought, oh, that's easy for God to do. He can come down and be anything he likes. He can die and then just go back to being a God. Like, what's the big deal? Right? That's how I used to think. But if I read that, then it's a big deal because he's still being referred to there as a man. Now, no, not a fleshly or sinful man, obviously, the same man that he was here. But that is talking about him standing in the throne room, mediating between us and God. Because when he came down to earth, he became a man. And then he died and he rose again and he got his glorified body, the same as what we will receive a glorified body. So same as what all men can do. My point in that is, and I hope this makes sense, and I'm not trying to belittle him in any way. Like, no, not at all. In fact, the opposite. That is how big his sacrifice was, that he continues in that state, that he continues to in the state that he came to earth. He fulfilled it. He became man, and he reconciled all through his death, and then he got his glorified body, and even now still he's in the throne room mediating as a man himself. If you read the numeric verse there, it just says a man, Christ Jesus. And that is how he's able to do it, because that's the second part of how everyone can be reconciled, is because he came to set the example for us that we can follow in his footsteps. We can follow that. We can, through grace and through faith, like you said, we can follow in his footsteps through receiving his spirit and then becoming more and more and more like him, be crucified in our flesh daily, overcome and receive a glorified body at the end and be right there with him. That is how we are able to do it. Not of ourselves, not of works, all those things, yes, of course. But it's not he didn't come to earth to do it and then went back to like his previous state, if you almost want to say that. It's still a continuous thing. He God still gave him up. And the analogy that I thought of is, if I'm teaching Daniel to cast a fishing line, right, or something, or ride a bike, then he can easily look at me and go, yeah, of course, Dad, that's easy for you to say. I must just do this and this and this. But I'm little and I don't know how to do it. The best way for me would to be if I transformed or became just like him, the same age, and I showed him that, yes, I'm just doing what my daddy showed me and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to keep here with you and we're going to overcome. We're going to learn how to ride this bike. I'm going to show you and I'm going to show you the perfect way to do it. This is the perfect way. You don't have to fall. You don't have to fail. And at the end of this, you're going to be able to cast the line. At the end of this, you're going to be able to ride a bike. But then at the end of that, I don't go back and turn into dad again. I'm going to continue on in this. I remain in that because I've overcome and I'm perfect. And I'm going to go to my father and I'm going to mediate for you in almost in that state. And we were able to continue in that way. I just thought, man, that's beautiful. That is what he came to do for us. He came to set that example so that we can be overcomers as well.
Amen. That's right. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Rian. Anyone else? Yeah, Andretta.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I was just thinking about when the little boy had the bread, thinking about Jesus as the bread, and how the one loaf couldn't feed, like could only feed him, and then it was broken up and it could feed lots of people. And there's a lot of reference to broken bread constantly. Well, there's the dying and the seed goes into the ground and it comes up and the harvest is bigger and he went into the ground and he's the bread of life and he was resurrected and his body was broken, you know. And at the Last Supper, he broke bread and, you know, shared it around. And if that bread then, when it's broken, feeds many, there's something there that's a bit more, I think in a very simple way in my head anyhow, than with Adam's sin. Because then Jesus is broken in us. And so he can feed many. And when we're broken, we're able to feed many. We become vessels of his glory and his honor. And so there's something about him being broken bread and the bread of life that then feeds many. If that makes I kind of see it that way. Yeah.
Amen, Ann Brenner. Thank you for that. That was awesome. Good parallel. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else for some more revelations here?
How about man-child bread and bride bread?
Okay, as long as it's not toasted. Be good. Gluten-free. Okay. All right, anyone else? Let me see here.
So I guess we have to really share it then, eh? Shared bread? Yeah.
Yeah. Gotta share it. Yeah. Amen.
We might have to have 5,000 to feed, plus women and children.
Or more, yeah. All right, anyone else? Oh my. Number three question. I think it's about the same thing. Wouldn't the proper reconciliation be one life in exchange for only one life? I think that was kind of the whole question out through the whole thing. Yeah, it's for my life. Y'all quit. Go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking of the reconciliation is an accounting term, you know. So, you know, one plus one equals two. And, you know, it's an accounting type of term, which would indicate, you know, that one, and that was, I guess, the reason for the question, is that one in a reconciliation process can only take care of one, you know, one for one. And and so the accounting process, taking that into consideration, that it's not a physical life, shall we say, it's not a body, it's not a physical body that gets reconciled for another body, but it is a life. It is the essence of that life that gets transferred. It's kind of like in a way that well, I won't go into that. Never mind. So I'll just drop it at that. I'd probably beat a dead horse anyway here.
All right. Go ahead, Greg.
Right. Pat, you've stepped into my realm. Accounting, right? One plus one equals two is not reconciliation. Now, a reconciliation is when two sides of a balance sheet balance. So, for example, if I had one bar of gold, I could buy five houses. Now you say, how does that reconcile? Because one gets five. It's the value that reconciles it, not the number. So Jesus' perfect death and his perfect blood being shed balances the ledger for not only me, but everyone else in line as well. Just to put the accounting thing in there. I'm out, by the way.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Julie.
That was good, Greg. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Michael.
No, that's all right. You go ahead.
Well, I was put in the chat here a little bit ago. I said, you know, what is reconciliation and what does it mean? And Greg, you just gave a really good explanation as the value of something, the value of the blood of Christ, his life perfection, you know, for our flaws and our sin nature that we had no control over, we were born into. Praise the Lord. I had something else that was coming to me. We were kind of something that was in the chat that made me think of Joe's dream again about the snakes. And one was in a bird cage, and the other one that attacked you was came out of the bush. Well, the one in the bird cage, it was caged, it was bound, it couldn't get to you. And that's being bound, binding and caging and stopping the attacks of the enemy, the serpent, the lies, the accusations, the poison, whatever it may be. And the one that attacked you was loose. It came out of the bush. It came out of, you know, it was in its whatever natural habitat, you know, in the bush, right? But it came out and attacked. And the authority we have is to bind them up, cage them, and command the angels to cage them. And I don't know why a snake would get into a bird cage or how that would happen, except, but that's how it was coming to me. It was caged. But the other one was loose to attack. That's it. Back to you, Michael.
Thank you. According to, what is this, Baker's Bible Dictionary, reconciliation comes from the Greek family of words that has its roots in alosso. The meaning common to this word group is change or exchange, as we all know. Reconciliation involves a change in the relationship between God and man, or man and man. It assumes there has been a breakdown in the relationship. Oh, duh. But now there has been a change from a state of enmity and fragmentation to one of harmony and fellowship. In Romans 5, 6 through 11, Paul said that before reconciliation, we were powerless, ungodly, sinners, and enemies. We were under God's wrath. Because of change or reconciliation, we become new creatures. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. The reconciliation says has to do with the relationship between God and man. I agree. It does. We've got a good relationship as long as we are obedient. What is this about free range chicken? It's that got to do with reconciliation. I'll give you a chicken if you let me come over and drink some water. Oh man. I don't either, Greg. All right, you know what else? David has a good teaching on the truth about born again. That's a good little old book. It's not very long either. I think it's 4 or 5 chapters only. It's transcribed. I think that's where you'll find it in his transcriptions. It's a good little old book on that. That's one of many that he's got on being born again. Of course, you know about salvation, you're sitting progressing. That's another good one. And then, what's the other one? Oh, there's a couple more I can't remember. You remember, Julie? Or Missy?
I'm sure I do. What was the question?
Well, thank you for paying attention. I'm just saying, you know.
I'm multitasking. I'm sorry. There's a lot of good books.
I was talking about the little booklet. It's not in a book form. It's just in transcribed. And he also has an MP3 on it. It's called The Truth About Being Born Again. Yeah. Born Again. Yeah, and it's also been transcribed.
Yeah, if I recall, that was like several audios.
About 4, I think. 4 or 5.
The truth maybe. About being, there's 5 parts to it. It's on the homepage of the website.
Okay. Then I was asking about, there's some more books. Now, I've mentioned Salvation, Instant Progressing. And then there's another one I'm trying to think of.
As far as a small book?
As far as a book, I've been born again.
Oh, and I'm sorry.
That portion of it, what we've been talking about.
Yeah. Perfection through Christ, Salvation Instant and Progressive.
Anyway.
That's what come to my mind as far as that.
Yeah. There's another one I'm trying to think of, but I'll figure it out later. All right, anybody got any more questions or any comments? Anybody out here need to be born again? Raise your hand. Okay, well, we took care of that. Oh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, Claire. Hi, kids. How y'all? All right.
Hello, I'm Michael.
Hey, girls. How y'all doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I am so blessed, girl. You just don't want to know. Absolutely. All right. Well, of course, like I said earlier, Thursday night is praise night. I think I'll just sing the whole time. Missy, quit that. Oh my. So email me your best ways to email me. That way I can just go ahead and put them in the thing there. Between now and Thursday be fine. And I'll get them all cataloged up, put in there. Make a joyful noise. Hey, we do. We make a joyful noise here. Anybody got anything they want to pray about? Need to pray about? Yeah, look, Willie. Will?
There's a doctrine going around that at the last end of like the tribulation, mankind is going to be so inhumane that we would be allowed to shoot them to defend ourselves. I just want to pray against that one. I don't think it's going to float.
Uh,
It's just an excuse to take up arms, and it's not allowed. Lord, thank you that we are not allowed to judge man. I think there's a scripture saying we might judge the angels, but we're not allowed to judge man. Lord, your children that is involved in this doctrine, I pray that you will open their eyes, that they understand that we are not allowed to fight physically. I think, sure, there was in the dream, like the dreams coming out, there's going to be in the safe houses, like the villages of light. I don't know, it wasn't one of the teachings. Some villages of light are still going to be like protected by arms, just because the specific Christians haven't had the revelation of not being allowed to take up arms and fight and kill physically. I was just going to, like, I think maybe we are going to have to deal with Christians in that same situation. Lord, I just ask for your wisdom when we have to deal with whatever comes in the future. And it's going to be very trialsome. And we have got to be 100% close to you, Lord. And it's going to be a very, I don't know if you guys heard about it, but we went through a farm attack in December, and it did teach me a great deal, and I was just so thankful that I didn't take up arms or even use the dogs in a physical defense, and the Lord really rewarded me for it, and he showed me that if I did, he showed me what would have happened if I took up arms, because then I have to pay for it. You know, it's like, I think it was in one of the David's teachings where he said, if you've got two kids and the one hurts the other one, and that one hurts the other child back and doesn't come and report it, then you have to spank the one that spanked the other child, you know, like he needs to come and report it and not take justice in his own hands, or like it's been very beneficial. I must say that at one moment when I was severely pressed, I was tempted to physically defend myself, but luckily the Lord made sure that there was nothing close by that I could use for like a split second, and it was an amazing learning curve for me in that high pressure time. To also repent still of some anger and aggression within myself. And it is amazing that if you don't, defend yourself, the Lord will defend you. And he is so, it's actually the second farm attack that we went through. The previous one, we also didn't do much except leave it to the Lord. And the Lord took out the people that tried to kill us. I was so shocked, and it happened so quickly. And the miraculous ways we found out about it, that I was like actually ashamed of myself, not pleading for mercy for those guys. Asking the Lord to forgive them, because his punishment is so severe. It's actually, it does put the fear of God in us. And at the times that we are facing, we are going to have to deal with Christians that doesn't know this revelation. Lord, I just pray that we will be ready in the time that we are facing not to fight back, that we will be dead enough in ourselves and have enough love within ourselves to overcome evil with good and love, and also that love casts out all fear. I'm actually just want to worship the Lord as well, and just thank him for where he's brought me, you know, going through something like that. it was just so amazing to see the fearlessness that normally I would have been freaked out 10 years ago, 11 years ago, just being fearless, not wanting to cause any physical harm to the individuals, pitying them, also knowing your self-defense structure of worship, being the Lord, that you're not under the curse, and watching them actually leave the premises. It's just a beautiful thing to use the spiritual defenses that we do have, that the Lord has blessed me and taught me these things the last 10 years. I'm just so actually amazed. I'm thankful for that we are not allowed to shed any blood physically. You know, it's not our place. I thank the Lord that it's so beautiful. It's really beautiful not to be violent. I'm not 100% there yet, but I strive after it with all everything in me, hopefully. And if not, then the Lord must reveal it to me so I can confess and repent. But just that we'll have the strength to draw those to get those Christians to repent from alms. It's intense in South Africa right now. You know, you've got everybody in the, like, the farmers meetings. I don't go to them, but my dad does, and it's like he goes, he's like, everyone's got a firearm except him. Luckily my dad's also repented and is anti hopefully I'm not talking too much. My dad was just also he didn't take any arms. He was on board, it was amazing to see the family in action when it actually happened. There was such an anointing on everyone to do it the Lord's way. So that's also removing the curse from your house, that no one will become violent in a situation. There's so much power in that, removing the curse. You can actually, if there's any violent individual in your house, you can just pray against that and bless the house, that there won't be any violence. And there's so much strength in that there's no curse on your house or on you, that Christ redeemed us from the curse. And my dad was just...
Did we lose you, William? Okay. But you know, we've got churches here. Matter of fact, it hadn't been too long ago that an act touted him as a hero. I think it was a church somewhere down south. And this guy came in there and was sitting down, and he had a long coat on. And he stood up, pulled out a shotgun, shot a man, but three guys in the back had weapons also. And one guy pulled his weapon and shot the other man dead that had shot the other guy. So two men died because they didn't know how to pray. They didn't know the power and authority of God. Okay, Nick, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, we're taking a trip up north on the 11th to the 16th. And so I'm taking the days off of work for that. So.
Okay. How do you go north from where you are?
We go...
I'm just kidding. I know. I'm just kidding, sir. Why would you want to go north? I guess was the right question. It's too cold up there, son. You got to understand. We got to keep warm down here. Are you going up there to visit family?
No, we're just going up there because we have property up there, and then we're going to hang out to have fun riding around on the dunes.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're going up there for fun?
Yeah.
All right. That sounds good, brother. You've been working hard. You need a little break. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I
All right, y'all have fun. Go ahead, Isaac.
Well, what I was going to say was along the lines of what William was saying. I don't presume to understand what it is they go through in there and where they're at. You know, things aren't too bad here. I guess where I'm at least I don't see them. But, you know, just the whole thing about taking up arms. See, I used to have like an AR-15, lots of ammunition, bunches of different pistols with heavy caliber. This is 2 years ago. And this is even after I even God gave me the grace to really walk with him. And right after the pandemic, when I read God's Vaccine, and I still had all this stuff, right? You know, had a lot of weapons. Well, he kept giving about so many months into this walk with him, he gave me a dream. And I won't go through the whole dream, but I'll make it real bullet point. I was running from some lady who wanted to kill me. And we were in some residential neighborhood. And I could tell she was an anarchist of some type. Well, I took my pistol out and I turned at her and pointed at her. And when I shot, it just went, the bullet went in the air. Nothing. Didn't even phase her. Both my kids were next to me. And I told them to run because she had a bazooka. Well, she shot the bazooka. But it's a type of projectile that it doesn't explode on impact. It just explodes however it does, but shrapnel goes everywhere. And I looked at myself at the explosion, I was okay. But I looked at my kids, and this was terrible, man. But this is the point God wanted to show me. They were pierced all over. And I knew they were both done for. And I just held them in my arms. And it was terrible, man. Terrible. And I woke up and it just really, really affected me. But and I know that our children could resemble our fruit too in dreams. And you know, the Lord put on my heart about that. And you know, I'm gonna tell you, the way I was raised, the way my family was raised, they were rough now. Bunch of rough rednecks. This not protecting yourself is not within the family lineage, right? But I'm not of that nature. And God gave me the grace. And I, you know, thank God, I got rid of all of them, gone. I don't even have them. Now, I'm not saying you can't have a gun if you want to have a gun, you know, shoot a 22, have a little fun, whatever. You do whatever you do. I don't care. I'm just saying for me, these things, I didn't even enjoy to shoot them. I didn't even like them. I just had them for protection because my reasoning was wrong, right? I'm not going to presume to put laws on anybody. But he was telling me straight up, Isaac, he who lives by a sword will die by a sword. And he who leads into captivity will he be led. And man, such a true statement, such a true word. So praise the Lord for William's testimony. And thank God for showing me. And thank God that, man, I just know, like I know this. He is going to take care of us completely and utterly. Unto salvation in this world. I mean, it's we got some great promises, man.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Claire.
I saw Anretta's question in the chat, and she says, how do you pray in situations like that? And I think William's done a great, he's given a great praise from the Lord. But I have a testimony of something like that, and I think it might just to illustrate what happened and how big the grace of God was, because it might help Anretta understand, and it ties in very much with what Isaac said. When I was, I also come from a bit of a strange background, you know, not this beautiful little tidy family. There's been some things, but that's all behind, and thank God for it. And married Rian, and you know, we came to Christ, and at the time I had two little babas. I was still breastfeeding Tabby. She's my second one, and she wasn't yet a year old, and I was still doing some editing. So I went to bed at about 3 o'clock in the morning, heard my oldest one get up and get some water from the kitchen around 3:15, I think, and finally fell asleep. And then I heard this other noise in the kitchen, and I was like, oh my goodness, whatever's in there is going to get it, because I want to sleep. and I walked into an intruder in our house. Now, we were living in South Africa at the time, and a lot of you have heard this testimony, but I know Anrita hasn't. So anyway, in South Africa, if that happens, the statistics aren't great that you're going to come out this side of heaven. But anyway, in that moment, like Rian and I were in a sweet spot with the Lord, because we were really in a place of weakness. We didn't have any known sin, and we were really living by faith. So there wasn't a whole bunch. When I say living by faith, I actually mean like literally living by faith, as in I can't remember, but we were living a microcosm of what maybe David has experienced. Anyway, I flew out of bed thinking it might have been like a cat that got through the window, and it was this intruder, and this voice came out of me that I know could only have been Christ in me, because I can't make my voice sound that authoritative, even on a good day. And I just said, get out of my house, with the most power. We had friends who lived in a little terrace up from us, and they thought it was a man screaming. They didn't know it was me. Now, I don't say that to boast. I say it because I believe that God, Jesus in me, commanded that person to leave. And here's the kicker. In any other situation, that person would probably have pulled something out on me, right? And we're in the dead of night. Rian, by this stage, was up in the passage straight after me. So just know that. It's not like he was sleeping like a baby. But I told this person to leave, and they bowed to me. This person bowed and said, I'm sorry, and ran out. That would not happen in natural circumstances. So that is only the power of God. And I think that's the protection you can expect when you know who lives in you. So that is my testimony, and I hope it blesses everyone.
It did. I get blessed every time I hear it. That's an awesome testimony. Okay. Anybody else before we close out here? I will tell you this. I've had people ask me, you know, what the vengeance is mine passage. And, well, what would you do if somebody was beating on your child when you come in the door? I said, well, it's not going to happen. They say, well, what do you mean it's not going to happen? I said, it's not going to happen. I'm a child of God, and I pray the prayer of faith. Pray protection around my house and my property. Not going to happen. And it never has, and it never will. Well, but just what if? I said, I don't know why he's going this way, because it ain't going to happen, bro. And that's what you have to do. You have to get that faith involved and pray. Just pray. And believe that your prayers are being answered. Yeah, those hypotheticals, that's right. Ain't no hypotheticals in God, is there? It's all truth. Okay, Lord, we just thank you for another fun-filled night with you, Lord. We thank you for it. We praise you, Father, for being with us and protecting us and our property against any of the enemy. And we thank you, Lord, that in the coming years or coming days and months and years that people are going to get saved because of our faith. We're going to have a great revival. I'm looking forward to it. Lord, thank you for bringing on the man child and the bride. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, bless everybody as they go either to sleep or whatever they're doing. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Good night, y'all. Bless you.